Spirit, Lord, we can come closer to you when times are rough. We trust in you, Lord, for all that we need. And Lord, we just need to trust and obey you. Let us grasp the wonderful future that you have made possible for us. We pray that your hope fills every aspect of our life, and that all people experience your hope, peace, and joy today. Father, no one can compare to you. Therefore, we will praise you as long as we live. Please let us believe in your plan of redemption and approach the future with trust and confidence. Lord, thank you for being in control of this world. Lord, we ask you to please be with those who are going through hard times. Please bless those who are sick. Please be with the homeless, the ones who are in prisons, rest homes, and those who are struggling to survive. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. All this was for us, so that we'll be able to have everlasting life with you. We ask all this in your will and in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, do we have any announcements?
Announce that we want to try to have a little, some type of a memorial service for Brian this month, and haven't quite worked it out yet, but if anybody has any input on that or a suggestion, let me know. But Brian was cremated, and he wants his ashes spread on his parents' grave at the Campground Methodist Church out of Tumulton. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of direction. So we want to try to honor him and possibly Peggy at the same time. I'm not sure what her husband wants to do. We'll wait and see about that. But I just wanted to give you the heads up on that.
Okay. Birthdays and anniversaries.
I have a birthday coming up on the 5th.
Okay. Anybody else?
Shirley had one.
Shirley? Okay, all right. We're not going to ask the age, so we'll skip that.
I'll be 77.
Oh, okay.
You're still
young. Dre had a birthday the 16th of December. It was a while ago. But
Oh, that's it. It's not been that long yet.
And Lauren. Willie.
What was that last one?
Trey.
Okay.
And Lauren?
Lauren Hancock's.
Yeah.
27th.
Yeah. 27th of December? Okay.
Wow.
Oh, my. Sit with me.
My lovely wife and I were married 51 years the 30th.
Wow. We'll just go from birthday
we'll
right?
No, we'll just do birthday.
No. We've got to do it. Play for yourself.
That's right. You can't see her, but anyway.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
The many, many for all.
Absolutely. Okay.
And many more.
Come on, Jim. Do it. Prayers and praises. It's always a praise to be here.
Oh, it's yes. Wonderful to be back.
Yes,
absolutely. I have a prayer request from my friend Kathy.
Okay.
She fell yesterday in her garage and broke her fractured her tailbone.
Okay.
What's her first name?
What'd you do? It was Kathy? Kathy.
I have a huge one. I'd like to encourage everyone to pray for my nephew Rob that's already been on the prayer list or on the emails at least before. I got an email this week, and it will only be by God's intervention that he gets to live. He got all his test results back, and he has cancer everywhere. Mm-hmm. Bones, lungs, bloodstream, stomach, everywhere. And they told him he would have 6 months to live without chemo. So he's going to go ahead and take chemo and start it right away in hopes of living a little bit longer. But they came right out and told him, we can't do anything for you. There's no way we can cure you. So he knows and we know that only God can take care of this if he chooses to. So if you would add your prayers to the many others, I'd appreciate it so much. He's a wonderful man at 42. Seems like he has lots of good to give yet.
Yes.
But God knows what needs to
absolutely
be done.
It's all in his plan.
And continued prayer for John. John is really struggling these last weeks with his breathing. And I told two or three of them, it seems like he's definitely losing ground. And he's tired. He's starting to feel defeated and done. So pray for him, if you will. And I'm going to cry, but I wanted to tell you before I left, I said to him, I said, hon, will you be okay for an hour or so by yourself? And he said, oh, I will be by myself. I said, why? Who's here with you? He said, the Lord is right here by my side. So, those are the kind of things I waited 50-some years to hear. And so it's beautiful to be able to share that with you.
Yes.
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 Praise.
Josh was driving on the interstate yesterday, and the hood of his car came up, smashed his windshield. Praise the Lord, he was able to get off onto the side without any problems, and he's fine. And I just think it was a miracle, a blessing from the Lord.
If you've never had that to happen. It is quite an experience.
I mean, his windshield was just completely smashed.
Yep, it's quite trying. I've had that happen before. It's not good. I have an update on Josephine Plum. She is back in the hospital. She was out. I think she got out for Christmas, right before Christmas. But where they had ruptured her esophagus for those surgeries, for the routine tests, they had to put a stent in. Well, that stent came out. And I don't know the whole story there, but it caused her some serious problems. So they had to put her back in the hospital. And she had surgery yesterday, and I haven't heard anything more about it after that. So she's struggling pretty good with that. So let's keep her in our prayers.
I forgot to ask for prayer for myself, but if y'all would continue praying, I'm having an extreme amount of problems with my knees, of all things. Since I've had the surgery, they seem to have decided to not work anymore. And so they just, they grate, and you can hear me all over the place. But the bad part is that they do not lock. They just let me fall whenever they want to. And so that's impeding my progress of trying to be able to get back on my feet and walk again and everything. So I go back to the surgeon on the 12th, and I don't know if there's... I can't even think of the word surgery. I don't know if there's anything they can do. I bought the elastic knee wraps and been wearing those around my knees. That still doesn't hold them enough to keep them from letting me start to fall.
Okay.
So just appreciate that a lot.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll go into the lighting of the joy candle with Becky.
get you this one. Go ahead, Willie.
Which one?
Write them all. Three of them. Or...
Is Joy the fourth one or the third one?
Third.
Okay, so three.
Just like three.
Doesn't want to leave.
The wicks are.
It got cold. Says you forgot about me. Yeah. This was supposed to go along with your message, and when I heard your message, it just. Oh, okay. It's supposed to go along with your message, and it would have fit right in with the songs. Part of your. Yeah. Okay. Let me stand back here. Do you still get as excited today when you think about Jesus coming from heaven to earth for you? Let earth receive her King. Jesus is not just a baby born in a manger. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah, the sent one from God to take away our sins. Does that not fill you with joy? Let every heart prepare him room. Is your heart ready for him this Christmas? And even though it's after Christmas, we can still prepare every day.
Amen.
Have you got so caught up in the hustle and bustle of the holiday or everyday life that there is little room for him? Stop. Empty yourself before him and prepare to experience the true joy of Jesus this Christmas. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Jesus rules and reigns over all creation. This Christmas, let us humbly bow before him. Let men their songs employ. In case you haven't caught on, this is the words from Joy to the World. May our hearts and our mouths be filled with song this Christmas, that every word we speak, every thought we think, every attitude we have is a reflection of the joy of Jesus in our lives. While fields and floods, rocks and hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. And I'm going to read scripture from Luke 2:8-10. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The third theme of Advent, which means coming or arrival, is joy. It is represented by the candle and the Advent wreath. We don't have different colors. This one says it's usually pink. It is the shepherd's candle, as the angels announced the arrival of Jesus to the shepherds, bringing them great joy. In addition, the first day of this third week is known as Gaudete Sunday, which literally means rejoice. Typically, fasting ceases for this one day as the joy of Jesus' pending arrival is celebrated. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. We sing some of these Christmas carols so often, we don't really stop any longer to truly think about their meaning. Joy to the world is one example of that. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 55:12, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace.
The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. All of creation proclaims Jesus as King and Lord. Let's not let them have all the fun this Christmas. Let's not be left out. May we proclaim the joy of the coming King. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And while we didn't get to come to church, we still had joy in our homes and in our hearts. We can't let Mother Nature ruin that. The joy comes from the Lord.
And amen. We have
to do that. So this week and this year, since we're starting out a new year today, let the joy of the Lord be your strength.
Thank you, Becky. Now let's all stand and sing number 87, Joy to the World.
For a couple different reasons. One, because they show us just the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promises. And we've seen some of the fulfillment of these promises that have come, you know, after this time they were written, but before us. But they also point to the hopefulness that we have, the future, that some of these have not yet been fulfilled. And we know that God will be faithful to fulfill his promises. I always think it's important when we read scripture to understand the context a little bit of this. You know, so we understand kind of what Isaiah is talking about. We know that these were written about 700 to 750 years before the time of Christ. And this was after the two kingdoms had been split and divided. So you had the northern kingdom of Israel, whose capital was Samaria, and then you have the southern kingdom of Judah, whose capital was Jerusalem. And Isaiah was in Jerusalem, but at this time, the northern kingdom was basically under the attack of the Assyrians. And they had come in and they had laid siege to Samaria. And it's referred to a little bit here in the first passage in Isaiah chapter 9. But as you can understand, that would bring great fear and trepidation for those living in Jerusalem and kind of observing what's going on in other parts of their world. And so there's a great, perhaps, despair even and fear in these people's lives. And in the midst of this, Isaiah comes in and says, offers, I think, a real picture of hope for them in these dark and desolate times. And I think that on many levels we can relate to that, even in our current situation in the world that we live in today. So I'm going to read Isaiah 9 first, and then we'll flip over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Amen. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." I love tying this to Isaiah 53 because I think during this season they were, of course, imagining that God would establish a political kingdom, a political power, and that whoever it was that was going to come and save them was going to be a mighty warrior and someone who would upend the political powers that be. But of course, we know from our perspective that at least in the first coming of Christ, this was not how it was going to happen, that it was going to be a suffering servant. And Isaiah refers then to this and describes this this Savior in Isaiah chapter 53. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors."
Thank you, Trey. Now we'll have some special music. Yes, Jack, Lauren, Ashley.
We have a recording of Lauren and I playing. We could play it first, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how this is going to work, but we can set the microphone and the phone down. We prepared it digitally because we thought maybe the Christmas service would become virtual after it's canceled last week, and Lauren's out of town right now. But. So this is What Child Is This? See how, I apologize if the volume isn't correct at first. I'll figure it out though.
This is What Child Is This?
Do you sound in? Is it the right volume?
What child is this? Too late to rest on Mary's lap this evening.
What's next? Let's do that. Yeah. You want us to do like the the upbeat one? Or just do both of them right now?
No. Just do the first one first. The upbeat one.
The upbeat one. Yeah. Gotcha.
How about a mic stand for that? Okay.
Whatever. I can. I'm a mic stand.
All right.
That's what my arms are for.
So this is an oldie but a goodie, but it's Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled,
when low above the earth rang out an angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Go
tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you very much. That's great.
Yes.
We'll have some readings. Claude.
The priceless gift of Christmas. I don't need it, I don't think. Thank you.
Okay.
The title of this is The Priceless Gift of Christmas. Now, Christmas is a season for joy and merrymaking, a time for gifts and presents, for giving and for taking. A festive, friendly, happy time when everyone is gay. But have we ever really felt the greatness of a day? For through the centuries, the world has wandered far away from the beauty and the meaning of the holy Christmas day. For Christmas is a heavenly gift that only God can give. It's ours, just for the asking, for as long as we shall live. It can't be bought or bartered. It can't be won or sold. It doesn't cost a penny, and it's worth far more than gold. It isn't bright and gleaming for eager eyes to see. It can't be wrapped in tinsel or placed beneath a tree. It isn't soft and shimmering for reaching hands to touch, or some expensive luxury you've wanted very much. For the priceless gift of Christmas is meant just for the heart, and we receive it only when we become a part of the kingdom and the glory, which is ours to freely take. For God sent the holy Christ child at Christmas for our sake, so man might come to know him and feel his presence near, and see the many miracles performed when he was here. And this priceless gift of Christmas is within the reach of all, the rich, the poor, the young and old, the greatest and the small. So take his priceless gift of love, reach out and you receive, and the only payment that God asks is just that you believe.
Thank you, Claude. Losses, you have a reading?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
I probably need a mic though.
Okay, no problem.
I want everybody here.
He said it, what, friend? It's just,
wait a minute. I have two, but one is somewhat of a tidbit here. It's the sweetest gift compared and with Jesus. But anyway, the candy cane. It's shaped like a shepherd's staff to remind you that Jesus came to be your good shepherd. Mm-hmm. A gold-wrapped rolo, everybody familiar with that? It's shaped like a crown to remind that Jesus is the King of Kings. Smarties, to remind you that Jesus is a wonderful counselor. A dove, a symbol of peace, to remind you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. A starlight mint, to remind you that Jesus is the light of the world. A Milky Way, to remind you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Lifesaver, to remind you that Jesus came to be your Savior. A Hershey kiss to remind you that Jesus loves you. An almond joy to remind you that Jesus is a source of joy. I thought that was interesting. I have another. My Christmas list of blessings. My Christmas list is more than just a way to keep track of the special people God has brought into my life to love. It's like a treasured scrapbook filled with pleasant memories of all the time God's answered prayers through friends and family. Every name's a touchstone that leads to a place and time where God has used another's heart to reach out and touch mine. It may have happened years ago or even yesterday, but every person on my list has changed my life some way. Through simple conversation, a warm hug, or a shared meal, every person on my list has helped me grow or heal. Or laugh or love or learn to smile, the blessings never end as God allows our paths to cross as family and friends. So please know that this greeting is more than a Christmas wish. It's a thank you card to God for putting on my list each and every one of those names I've come to hold so dear. Those who've shown the Christmas joy each day of the year.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you,
sir. Any more readings? Anybody else have any others they want to share? Larry? Or read your.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Thank you, Larry. I think we have some more music here. Okay.
I'll introduce this one. It's called "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." It's an old hymn. I think there are actually several other verses that go with it, but I just love this one because it could be a Christmas song, it could be an Easter song. It's just a good reminder that the manger is always in the shadow of the cross. That's why the baby came, was to die. And so it's just a good thing for us all year long to be cognizant of, I guess, that why he's here, why he came. Mm-hmm. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, and tell how he liveth again. Oh, love in the story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Love paid the ransom for me.
It's hard to follow all of that here at the end. Thank you, everyone that participated, very much.
Record.
I'm already recording, Mom. Yeah. I started early. There's also another passage of Scripture I'd like to read before I start on this theme of love. And that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I'd like to begin with just some thoughts that kind of I ran across preparing for this morning or last week, whenever it was. It's kind of a blur, really. But there's some meditations that I'd just like to just throw out there for us to think about this holiday season. How wonderful it is that Bethlehem means the house of bread, and that Jesus is the bread of life and was born in a place called the house of bread. Kind of neat. The shepherds were the first to gaze upon the Lord, the one who one day would declare, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. When God speaks to us in the Bible, he speaks to bless us and to save us. When he speaks, he doesn't speak with the severity of a judge. He speaks to us like a compassionate and loving father. In Amen. Fact, he encourages us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." And finally, I was thinking that it's also true that we cannot fully appreciate the vast extent of his magnificent grace until we are made aware of the depth of our need. We really need him, don't we?
Amen.
We've been looking at the themes of Advent season. We started off with hope. And I believe the main verse there was, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Next was peace. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world."
Amen.
Then joy, the recording that John made for us, since we weren't able to meet. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." And this morning, love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have life through him. In the good news that Larry just read, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We find hope and peace, and joy, and love.
Amen.
Let's begin with love. There is a love that will not let us go. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." The love of God is initiated by him and is revealed to us in his word. "This is love," he says, "not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." I love what Jude said in his short little book before the book of Revelation. In verse 21, "Keep yourselves in God's love. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Keep yourself in God's love. In other words, staying in a loving relationship is a two-way street. If we want a friend, you've got to be friendly.
Amen.
A few verses later, in the beautiful doxology that Jude makes at the end of his book, he says, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." The love of God is immense, and it is secure. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. No one shall snatch them from my hand. Brothers and sisters, that is security.
Amen.
A love that will not let me go. Next, the Bible speaks of light. Jesus is light. A light that guides me all my ways. The importance of light is seen throughout all of Scripture. For example, in Ephesians 5, verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Paul does not say that we were in darkness. He says we were darkness. By nature, we are darkness in need of light of the world. We need His light to show on us. Reminds me of the verse Trey commented on in Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness. That's us, right? Have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. We should not be surprised to hear Jesus say in the temple, "I come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." The Apostle John writes, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind."
Amen.
A love that will not let me go, a light that guides me all my way. And finally, joy. A joy that meets me in my pain. There's a reality that we should not forget this time of year. It will be hard for some to be joyful. Looking down our prayer list, there are those who have recently lost loved ones. We think of the Don McDaniel family. We think of the siblings of Trey and Peggy Klein. Those who are literally fighting for their lives will have trouble finding joy this holiday season. There can be a tendency for us to cover up any sense of pain or disappointment or heaviness of heart and push it down for now and just go along and sing Christmas carols and open our gifts. The trouble with that is there's nothing that can deal with our human pain. The reality of what all of us will face. There is a reason why Jesus was acquainted with grief. There's a reason why Jesus was the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief so that you and I could be acquainted with joy.
Amen.
In Jesus, we find a love that will not let us go. A light that guides us on our way. A joy that supports us in our pain. In all the people we will ever meet in the world, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
Amen.
If you would now, take your hymnals and turn to that, 445. 4:45. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our sorrow, diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet the friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No nights of dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Did ever Satan find his friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I'm going to ask Brother John if he'd close us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you again, and all these words that have been said today about you are true, and there's much more than we could even express with our mouths. It's amazing that the King of the universe that made everything, the Son of God, would come to the earth to live a perfect life for us and to die for us when we were in rebellion against you. Mm. And we just praise you that you would do that. And we're struck by the fact that you adopted us as sons and daughters. And Scripture says that, Jesus, you are our brother. Thank you for being willing to get to our level and to doing something that absolutely nothing, no one else could do, and doing it with joy. Mm-hmm. As it says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand.
Amen.
We thank you for that, and help us to believe that this week and live it out. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.